Good evening and welcome to the Brexville Broadview Heights Board of Education meeting, regular meeting on this Monday, the 23rd of March, 2015, being held in the Brexville Broadview Heights High School Auditorium. This is a meeting of the Board of Education in public for the purpose of conducting the school district's business and is not to be considered a public community meeting. There's time for public participation during the meeting as an indicated agenda item. Have a call to order, please.
Mrs. Bernauer?
Yes.
Mr. Dosen?
Yes.
Mrs. Mack?
Yes.
Mr. Ziegler?
Yes.
Mr. Jansen?
Yes. Please rise and join me in the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance
to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Item C, approval of agenda addenda items. May I have a motion, please?
So moved.
Second.
Mr. Jansen, board members, I'd like to recommend that we replace the service provider renewal contract in tab 11. You have a copy of it. There was a typographical error in the heading, and so you have a three-ring binder that or sheet of paper that should go into tab 11 if you so approve.
Roll call, please.
Mrs. Bernauer?
Yes.
Mr. Dosen?
Yes.
Mrs. Mack?
Yes.
Mr. Ziegler?
Yes.
Mr. Jansen?
Yes. Motion passes 5-0. Item D, and this is one of those items that we really look forward to. We had a chance to do it a few times during the year, and that is to recognize many of our student performers, both athletes and other performers in their fields of expertise. It's fun for us. It's great for the community to see what the students are doing and how they're expanding their boundaries. Mr. Prebles.
This is a great night, and I'm going to ask Mr. Mueller, the high school principal, to step up to the podium. We're going to introduce all of our students and give them the recognition that they deserve. We are very proud of these students tonight, and I think these are always the most special board meetings when you have an opportunity. We have 57 students who we're going to honor tonight. And there are many, many more that are going to be occurring, accolades occurring over the remainder of the school year. So we're off to a great start, and tonight is a representation of that. So each of our board members are going to help distribute the awards this evening. And Mr. Mueller, if you would, sir, meet us at the podium, and we'll get started. If you can give us a couple seconds to get down.
Thank you. Good evening, everyone. It certainly has been just an incredible year here at Brexville Broadview Heights High School. We're here to recognize a number of our students and programs for the accomplishments that they have achieved during this past season and during the year. But if you were at the high school on the weekend for the music program's Pancake Breakfast, you'll know that there is a lot of love and support for many of our programs. And we certainly don't want anybody to believe that we're only recognizing this group of students here tonight, because we have so much excellence that is demonstrated by our students, by our staff, by our supportive groups, organizations, and families, that it is just truly an honor to be part of this tremendous school district. So we'll start first with robotics. We're going to start with our robotics program. And if the board members don't mind, we're all set up here, and they're going to do a little thing with their robots. You know, it's going to take a couple minutes to fill the pit up with water for our swimmers, and the wrestlers are just, they're ready to rumble any minute.
Anywhere.
But we really wanted to show you, it's hard sometimes to visualize, okay, what is robotics? We're going to have Mr. Kowach explain, and the kids are going to go ahead and get them started. So, Mr. Kowach, if you would, he is our advisor, Mr. Craig Kowach.
Basically, each year, the avenue that we've taken is called Vex Robotics, and they create a new game every year, and you have to build a robot to play that game. You compete against other teams. You have it's two versus two, and at this particular game, there's cubes, there are sky rises. The yellow items are sky rises. You design your bot to do a specific skill, and we've designed ones to do either the Skyrise or the cubes. This is our first year in competitive robotics, and I will tell you, we qualified for the U.S. Open Robotics Championships, which are in April, and then the World Robotics Championships, which are a week later. The kids are putting in an extreme amount of time. Their dedication, I can't tell you how much it is. It's unbelievable. Christmas break, 6 in the morning, I got a text, "Are you going to be up at school?" I texted back, said, "I'm going to sleep in." They said, "Does that mean 7? But they're just doing a quick demonstration here. You score more points putting it on the yellow sky rises than you do on any of the pillars on the side. But I'll let them.
And I know that as student athletes, student artists, and families, you know that all of our programs really bring that kind of dedication and commitment to them. I can tell you that one of the unique things about this program is they have to do this against a clock, and it all depends on gear ratios and different things. And we actually have our kids making gears on 3D printers that then immediately work on their robots in order to gain speed or gain height or whatever it is they do. So, students, when I call your name, please come down and meet our members of our board, and then we're going to ask all of our honorees this evening to make sure you go up then and get a picture on the stage. Oh, on the side here. When we talk about going to nationals and worlds, the National Robotics Competition is going to be in Iowa, and that's in a couple of weeks. And then a couple of weeks after that, the World Competition is being held in Louisville, Kentucky. So our robotics teams will be doing a little traveling around the nation. And we wish them the best. When Mr. Kowatch says this is their first year, they outstripped the city robotics program, and we branched off on our own. And as he said, our students are just putting in an incredible amount of time. So, as I call your name, if you are all here, I see a couple that are not, but Owen Horder, second place in the Ohio State Robotics Championships. Matt Pitzer, second place, Ohio State Robotics Championships. Ryan Seraglio, second place in Ohio State Robotics Championships. Wyatt Slifkak, second place, Ohio State Robotics Championship. Jimmy Zawada, second place, Ohio State Robotics. Our next team placed fifth. First member, Mackenzie Franks, fifth place, Ohio State Robotics. Jeremy Grimmer, 5th place, Ohio State Robotics. Adam Lucas is not here, 5th place, Ohio State Robotics. Josh McGroarty, also 5th place, could not be with us this evening. Kyle Vasulka, 5th place, Ohio State Robotics. And last but certainly not least, JT Zawada, 5th place, Ohio State Robotics. While our robotics represents what is known now as STEM learning, our next group of people are part of a group that would advocate that that term be called STEAM, adding an A for the arts into the STEM. The following students are receiving awards in scholastic art for the Ohio Governor's Youth Exhibition. When I call your name, would you please come up and meet with the board members and receive your award? Ada Eng. Ada is being awarded a gold key in painting for the 35th Annual Scholastic Art and Writing Awards Competition. Over here, Ada. You're going on this side. Had me worried because I didn't know Ada. She's a middle school student. So congratulations to Ada. Erica Cluth, who could not be with us tonight, as she has had an injury, she is being awarded a gold key in photography for the 35th Annual Scholastic Art and Writing Awards Competition. Next, Phoebe Lynn. Is Phoebe here? I did not know that name either. Phoebe is another middle school student who is being awarded a gold key in ceramics at the 35th Annual Scholastic Art and Writing Awards Competition. Alex Wong. Alex is being awarded a gold key in drawing at the 35th Annual Scholastic Art and Writing Awards Competition. And I did not know Alex because Alex is also a middle school student.
Come on, Alex, right here. Get a picture.
This one I know. Angel Eng is being awarded a gold key in painting at the 35th Annual Scholastic Art and Writing Awards Competition and award-winning drawing and painting in the Ohio Governor's Youth Art Exhibition. You can fist bump me. Jessica Baran. Jessica has an award-winning photograph in the Ohio Governor's Youth Art Exhibition. Kayla Bozlowski has an award-winning drawing in the Ohio Governor's Youth Art Exhibition. And Allison Gergat, I didn't see her. Allison has an award-winning photograph in the Ohio Governor's Youth Art Exhibition. Congratulations to our young artists. If you're not a parent who was at any of our sports awards programs, You may or may not know, and hopefully you looked at my message that I sent out in our Constant Contact, watched that little video. We would say, and Mr. Kalinske is here, and he will affirm that, that winter of 14-15 was the greatest sports season in the 133-year history of Brecksville Broadview Heights High School. Our winter sports athletes won state championships in three different sports, in wrestling, in swimming, and in gymnastics. And that is an incredible feat that lends to the legacy of excellence that is Brecksville Broadview Heights High School. And students who participated in our programs during this year will forever be contributors to that legacy of excellence. Our next group of honorees this evening are members of our girls' swim team for their state accomplishments. Ladies, when I call your name, please come up and receive your award from the board. Anna Cornell. Anna's a state placer, placing 7th in the 100 backstroke and 8th in the 400 freestyle relay at the 2015 OHSAA swimming tournament.
Congratulations.
Paige Coughlin. Paige placed 8th in the 400 freestyle relay at the 2015 OHSAA swimming tournament. Rachel Kochman. Rachel is the third member of our 8th place 400 freestyle relay team at the 2015 OHSAA swimming tournament. And finally, Jubilee Winar. Jubilee is the last member of our 400 freestyle relay team at the state swimming tournament. Congratulations to our girls. He's not on the program. They are not on the program. But our coaches, Mr. and Mrs. Krasinski, are in the audience. Would you please stand up? They are the coaches of the year. And we'd like, the superintendent will bring it to you. Next, our state champions. Members of our boys 200-meter freestyle relay that set a new school record time and also placed third in the 400 freestyle relay at the 2015 OHSAA swim tournament. And instead of saying that four times, now I can just call four names. I introduce to you our state champions, Mark Krasinski, sophomore, junior, sorry. I'm getting ahead of myself. Michael Lynch. He just looks like a swimmer that I've seen somewhere else. Something about him, I don't know what that is. David Madej. He's up once. And Matthew Martin. You know, it's in the hallways now. The more I say, "Hi, champ," more kids turn their heads, and that's very cool. So congratulations. Next are our wrestlers. And I saw Coach Haverdill. Oh, I'm sorry, Mr. Kowach. Please. Haverdill's here. He'd stand up for wrestling, too, though, I believe. That could happen. Next, our wrestling program, which achieved another milestone. It's been a program that's been recognized for excellence. I have some extra notes here that I asked Coach Haverdill to provide me. In their 10-year tenure in the Southwestern Conference, our B's wrestling program under Coach Haverdill not only were 10-time champions, they never lost a conference meet in the 10 years that we spent in the Southwestern Conference. The B's wrestlers will be sorely missed by the Southwestern Conference as we... but our program achieved another milestone. They always strive for excellence, as do all of our programs. But one of the achievements this year, obviously, is the state dual championship that our team brought home from Columbus at the end of February as they prepared for the individual tournaments. I will read the accomplishments of our wrestlers, and we will recognize our champions. And they just have really put B's wrestling on the map as one of the top programs in United States high school wrestling under Coach Haverdill. So congratulations, Coach. Yeah, he was. Also Coach of the Year. He's mad at me. I wouldn't let him speak tonight. All right, bear with me. First, Austin Acid, a four-time state qualifier, placing second in the 126-pound division of the OHSAA State Wrestling Championship and capturing the Division I state title at the OHSAA Dual Team Tournament. Jared Bronstrup placed third in the 106-pound division of the OHSAA State Wrestling Championship and is a state dual champion. Justin D'Amico placed third in the 138-pound division of the State Wrestling Championship and is a state dual champion. Austin Hiles placed third in the 152-pound division of the State Wrestling Championship and is a state duels team champion. Sonny Lucas placed sixth in the 145-pound division and is a state team dual champion. Anthony Blogna, on crutches, was a state qualifier who unfortunately could not participate because he broke his foot to qualify as a state wrestler, but he is also a state dual team champion, Anthony Blogna. Eddie Sternad, state qualifier in the Ohio State Wrestling Championship, and not only is he a state duels team champion, Eddie had all the pressure of winning the match he wrestled up a weight class and had to win for our team to be state team dual champions. And I love all of our kids, and they are all true champions. But Eddie, congratulations. Luke Sternad, state qualifier in the Ohio State Wrestling Champions and a Division I team dual champion. Jimmy Cejeda, state qualifier and a state wrestling champion and a state Division I. I'm good with it. They're out there in singlets. That's not a problem right here tonight. And could we please have the rest of our Bees wrestling team come up front with your champions? These are all part of the team. The remaining wrestlers you see did not necessarily participate in those particular meets or events, but they are a member of our team, and we're so proud of them all. Congratulations. Well, I have them here. Let me identify them, Mr. Prebles. My fault. Jason Bronstrup, step up. I missed the whole page. Dean Campbell, step up. Clayton Catanzarite. Zach Deanna. Jaden Kinney. Not here. Dan Morrell. Andrew Perelka. Wilson Sternad. Matt Topoli. Nolan Wachna. And Michael Yoke. I apologize, those pages were stuck together. Okay, and last but certainly not least this evening, which has just become like an annual event here at BBHHS, when I talk about our programs placing themselves on the map and being recognized in the state and across the nation, this next program has established itself firmly as the premier gymnastics program in the state of Ohio, recognized nationally, and this year, complementing their 12th consecutive Ohio State High School Athletic Association championship, is the recognition of our very extraordinary and dedicated coach, Joan Ganim, as the National Federation of High School Coaches Coach of the Year for high school gymnastics. Joan? All right, now I will introduce our state champions. We have team and individual gymnastics champions to introduce, and I will try to combine that as best as I'm able. First, Alicia Farina. She's not here? Okay. Anyway, Alicia placed first on floor, beam, vault, and she was the all-around individual state champion. She was in second place on the bars and a leading member of our 12th consecutive state gymnastics championship. Tessa Phillips. Tessa is here. Tessa placed second on the floor and beam. She was third all around in the state and a member of our 12th consecutive state gymnastics champions. I don't see her, but Natalie LaCava. Natalie was a member of our 12th consecutive state gymnastics champions. Maddie Magdanek. Okay. Brielle Marlowe. Brielle is a member of our 12th consecutive state championship. Our next young lady is a senior who will be leaving BBHHS as being a four-time state champion, Riley Nowacki. Liz Paletta. This is Liz's first state championship, and she's a member of our 12th consecutive state championship teams. Madison Trout. And finally, coming up, Jamie Wagerman. You know, like so many of our athletes, Jamie is a competitor who delayed her medical treatment until the end of the season. And they are just so dedicated. We congratulate all of them and extend congratulations to Coach Ganim and all of our tremendous gymnasts and the legacy that you have brought to our school. Congratulations, everybody.
That's it. This is my name.
It's the hottest year ever. Hottest summer.
Let's zip through this.
Move on to item E, resolution to approve the minutes of the meeting of February 23rd, 2015. May I have a motion?
So moved.
Second.
Comments, questions? Roll call, please.
Mrs. Bernauer?
Yes.
Mr. Dosen?
Yes.
Mrs. Mack?
Yes.
Mr. Ziegler?
Yes.
Mr. Jansen?
Yes. Resolution passes 5-0. Item F, resolution to approve the financial reports of February 2015. May I have a motion?
So moved.
Second.
Mr. Burdine?
Thank you. You can follow on the wall if you would like. Vanna Wyckoff is going to help us tonight. Mm-hmm. He's going to scroll the dial there for us. Thank you, Brian. So we can see the expenditures. So also, if you have the agenda, you can follow along. It'll be page 2 of tab 2 that I'll primarily work off of unless there are other questions. For the fiscal year to date through February month end, we talked briefly last month that our tax revenue, I knew at that board meeting, was more favorable because we were into February already. As you can see, we're trending right now at about $1 million ahead compared to last year. That, just as the deficit of prior months didn't cause me great angst, this doesn't give me great delight because the settlement will ultimately come likely in April. And that will be the reality of what happens with that. So right now, this is just a temporary swing. I couldn't even begin to predict where I think it might occur. We'll have a settlement in April, and then for the last 3 years, we've also received a special advance payment against any other straggling payments that come after the county decides the date to disburse the settlement. We'll get those funds in May, and those have ranged from, I think, $6,000 or $7,000 up to about $500,000, I believe, $300,000 maybe it was. So there's been a wide swing in that over 3 years. So a lot of play will happen in that one between now and the end of the year, but I feel fairly confident in the estimate that's been put forth for the year. The tangible personal, nothing's happened there. We'll post again to that revenue line when we settle in April. We did receive a bit of good news at this point from our ODE Foundation funding, a slight increase in our special education transportation funding. And that's a function of miles, distance traveled, different, so it can be newly identified students, new residences, a lot of things can go into that. It's maybe a slight funding increase from the state on a per mile basis. So $29,000 in the scope of $47 million isn't a lot, but it's more than zero, so we'll be happy to take it. All other operating revenues, I had mentioned before, I thought as we started to receive tuition payments in particular from the department, through the Department of Education, they're a vehicle to pass those from one school district to another. We did begin to receive those where we had been trending unfavorably in that particular line. We're now favorable. And I do think by the end of the year there will be a little extra revenue. We'll update that better in May. As I've said before, we get really good when we have 10 months of actuals to work off of for the fiscal year. So, but I feel better about that one and where it's moving. Workers' comp, that was just the refund that was received. We had guesstimated that, I think, at $110,000, and it came in at about $115,000. So that said, all of our expense lines are trending favorably. Salaries and fringes, feel okay about that, only because I know we have a workers' compensation payment coming in April, and those premiums have increased again this year. So I expect that we'll utilize that excess that's showing there right now. And we have $100,000 on about $20 million to date excess in the salary line. So, again, those are guesstimates based on staff we know when we do the forecast, and then we trend those based against prior fiscal years for when they expend on a monthly basis. The purchase services, supplies, materials, you know, in total there, we're looking at about $340,000. Last year we ended the year with 240, I believe it was, of encumbrances. I haven't carried encumbrances separately in this particular forecast, trying to figure out where those go in relation to expenses. And also some of our buildings, like for the Hilton Playground, there were some funds that were included in their general fund allocations they've been carrying for some years that will get spent this year, with that playground likely to occur very soon. So I don't think we have a lot of excess that we're carrying there in those expenditure accounts. We tried to tighten those up based on looking back at 3 to 5 years of history and actual expenditures that were occurring. So I feel good about the report. I think there's changes coming, and hopefully they're more positive than not. And any other questions you have about that page or any of the other 9 pages, I'll be happy to attempt to address.
Seeing none, roll call, please.
Mrs. Bernauer?
Yes.
Mr. Dosen?
Yes.
Mrs. Mack?
Yes.
Mr. Ziegler?
Yes.
Mr. Jansen?
Yes. Resolution passes 5-0. Item G, other business of the Treasurer CFO, including appropriation adjustments. May I have a motion, please?
So moved.
Second.
Mr. Ben?
Those are just requests to expend money in the Fund 200. That one is related to prom and the Fund 07 absolutely escapes me at this point. I apologize for that. I was on vacation last week, and now I can't remember anything. So I get that information if you – it was a request for some reason to increase the budget line, and I just don't remember, unfortunately.
Roll call, please.
Mrs. Bernauer?
Yes.
Mr. Dosen?
Yes.
Mrs. Mack?
Yes.
Mr. Ziegler?
Yes.
Mr. Jansen?
Yes. Motion passes 5-0. H, communications. Mr. Prebles?
I would like to know
special trust.
which board member has the board information flyer that I placed in front of Mr. Ziegler prior to going down?
Commissioner Vacation Trust.
It had the order of events.
Okay, right there.
Did you have this past you, Scott?
Thank you. I do not have any communication items, sir.
Oh, okay.
Thank you. Item I, hearing of the public. Is there anybody in our audience tonight who would like to address the board? Hearing none, I'll dispense with the reading and move on to item J, administrative reports and discussion. Mr. Prebles?
Yes, thank you, sir. Ladies and gentlemen, you have in front of you a four-page document. It's related to the technology discussion that we're going to be having this evening. We put together some work plans related to our one-to-one initiative that we've been working on at the middle school. It's part and parcel to the entire integration of technology throughout the school district. But what I wanted to do is just give you a brief update this evening on how each of these work plans are going. The first one there is to develop appropriate policy, administrative guidelines, and procedures to ensure responsible, safe, and productive use of technology to meet student learning objectives occurs in the district's vision. And so right now we are coordinating with NEOLA. We have taken all of the policies and procedures that we've seen in the districts that we've been reviewing. We have passed on those policy and procedures questions to NEOLA. They've sent us back information. And so now what we're going to do is lay the NEOLA recommendations over top of what we're trying to accomplish with our one-to-one process. We'll get that accomplished. Once we do that, we will ask the board to convene its policy group, and we'll go over those one by one to try to give you a sense of where our policies would need to be to meet the needs that we have in our program. So that's a quick update on that one, just to let you know that we are, in fact, going to be reviewing policies. And those will have impact on our student handbooks, communications that we are sending home to parents, and parent-teacher conference type beginning of the school year activities. So we'll be updating our parents. The second one is to provide the necessary facility and technology infrastructure to ensure successful implementation of the one-on-one computing model. Right now, we are working very hard on the making the wireless portion of our school district more robust. And we're finalizing the installations and locations of very difficult installations at this point in time, and we'll put those together and complete those during the summertime. The most challenging installations, as you might think, would be in auditoriums, large places where we're going to need some scaffolding, gymnasiums, and the cafeterias in our school system, obviously the libraries, media centers, and there are some significant infrastructure barriers that we have in some of our older facilities. So if you get to Central School and you get down into the second or into the basement area where we have computers and technology needs, there are some pretty thick cement walls and some stone and things like that that we're going to have to get through. Then when you get into some of the elementaries with some of the things that need to occur be above the roof tile in between that and the actual roof, we're waiting to do those installations in the summertime. But the whole idea is to get more installations, make the wireless much more achievable so that the internet and access to the internet comes quicker to our students. If you go down into the plan, a lot of this, developing a plan for charging the capacity at the middle school. We're working right now in the classroom for the media center. There's some logistics that we're thinking about there when we've talked to other school districts. What we're trying to do is make this achievable for students so that they can recharge, but not create a supervision issue. And what I mean by supervision is adding staff to try to manage the computer technology that we're going to be placing in the media center. So we're looking for some innovative ways right now to use that center and to be able to have students be able to charge their computers without necessarily increasing costs for supervision. Also at the high school, the charging capacity and the procedures, that whole policy manual needs to be looked at. We want to make sure that we can make it convenient for students at the high school. The wireless and the charging at that particular building is a little bit different because of the various types of technology that our kids are bringing to the building. So when you have a one-to-one model like we have in the middle school, at least in the sixth grade in the labs that we have, it's easier to charge because you have duplicate machines. When you get to the high school and you're charging and you're offering other opportunities in the classrooms, that wireless needs to be able to manage several different types of devices. And so that's part of this particular plan as far as infrastructure is concerned. The third one is to select, acquire, and configure, deploy, and support appropriate computer hardware. And we have been, this is kind of interesting, we've been taking a look at different types of computers with our staff, and much like you've seen in enrollment, where you see a red line is a computer that might not function as well as what we would like for it to in regard to the things that we would like to have for our students. So we have been giving our staff members various different devices so that they can navigate, they can use them, they can get engaged with them, see how they work, compare that, and then they've come back together and they're making some recommendations to us, and those recommendations are aligned here. Some of the other work that we're doing in this area, what I have here, and I'm going to pass these around to you, I just thought it would be very difficult in this room tonight to put a presentation, but there are standards in technology, national standards in technology, that part of this work is now taking those standards, what children should be able to do at each particular grade level as they move through the system, what they should physically be able to do, not only with the equipment, but what they should know about research, what is a good site, what is a bad site, safety for young kids, our ability to control at a much higher level what younger kids are exposed to or have access to when they're doing their Googling searches and working. And so all of those things, not only how to utilize the equipment, but technology utilization and what that looks like at different levels. And this is a comparison of another school district that we're collaborating with. This is Orange City Schools locally. They have done the work that we need to do, and so we're working with them to see how their curriculum, our curriculum, and the standards match up in each level. Once you do this, then you take the most seamless opportunities to integrate that technology in your classroom in the first year so that it's easier for teachers, easier for students, it makes more sense, and then you expand on those ideas as the years go on. So you can take a look briefly as that's going around as the type of things that we're analyzing as we try to match up the appropriate hardware with the appropriate curriculum that's going to be at each particular grade level. We are on target for what we would hope to have an April selection of the equipment. The teachers are evaluating that equipment right now. We really want to make sure that the battery and the performance, that's a big issue. We have devices that have a 4-hour lifespan on the battery that we have found out through some of our analysis, and we have some devices that are lasting all the way up to 9 hours, and those are obviously considerations that we have to take seriously when we think about having that device in a child's hand for that much time. We are collaborating with other districts. Once we select a cadre of devices that we think are the best, we will put those in the hands of the students so that they can utilize those, so that they can give us their feedback on how those things are working for them. We hope to start the process in May of doing the bid process, making sure that the equipment is in. We'd want to configure all of that equipment, make sure that we get all of our software and things on that during the summertime so that when students come in August, that's ready to go. And some of the selection even comes down to the carrying case, and we've noticed that it's important. If it's a bulky case, what do you do with it when the student has the computer on the desk? Do you want a case that has rubber that stays around the device so that if it happened to get dropped, so that you could keep it on the desktop? So there's a lot of decisions about not only the piece of equipment, but also how it's going to be carried around and the other pieces and parts. We want it to be as seamless as possible for our kids. We don't want to replace the big book bag with another big bag. So what we're trying to do is streamline that process, but make sure that the equipment is protected inside of whatever casing that we would choose. So those are the logistical things that are happening at this point in time. The last one is to provide appropriate instructional planning and professional development to ensure productive use of the one-to-one program. We're looking at this from a 4-to-8 continuum, this one-to-one in the sixth grade. And so right now, we are working intensively, and I do mean that, with our sixth grade teachers in preparation for the next school year. They're reviewing those standards. They're reviewing their curriculum. They're talking in PLCs. They're selecting units and pieces of technology integration that they can utilize next year. And once they do that, we are professionally developing them this time so they have consistent understanding of the equipment, how it can be used, and how it can be integrated into their classroom. Not only the equipment, but the assessment, how we can do that, project-type things, their collaboration, and what that looks like across a school year. We want this to be as integrated as possible, but we recognize in the first year it's going to look a little bit more contrived than it will down the road. So we're trying to select those things that we believe will be the most profitable in the first year, the easiest for students, for teachers, and also for parents to manage, and we'll talk about that in a little bit. The integration specialists who are at the elementary schools, they are also meeting with principals, and they're going to start meeting with teachers once they get their plan together. And they're looking at job descriptions, they're looking at responsibilities, they're looking at the reconfiguration of the media centers, they're looking at their time, how they would be deployed out into the buildings, the type of lessons that they too can integrate in their classrooms at the elementary level. So that is going on with professional development as well. If you are in the fourth grade, excuse me, if you are a fifth grade teacher or you are a seventh grade teacher, what's happening this year with sixth grade, you're going to begin to see more of that happening next year in professional development, so that the fifth grade teachers are well aware of what's going to happen in the sixth grade. And so the seventh grade teachers who will be accepting the sixth grade students the following year, we're doing the professional development for them in the second year, as well as fourth grade and eighth grade. We're looking at this, as I said, as a 4-8 continuum, preparing the kids in the fourth and fifth grade for the sixth grade experience and having that go through seventh and eighth grade until they go to high school. The other part of that is a management system that we want to select so that parents who are involved in this process in grades 4-8 can communicate and not, when we switch from one building to another, have to learn an entire new management system. So those are the types of things that we're trying to do to make it easy for parents as well as students. And then the last thing that you don't have a work plan on, which is embedded in this, is our parent engagement part, because we really need, once we get some of the things we've talked about this evening, to get our parents on board in the sense that they understand what's coming and what we're trying to accomplish, not only from a curricular perspective, but from their home circumstance. What's your child going to be doing when they come home? What will be happening at school? How will you find out? How can you check in? And what access will you have to your child's file, to the work that they're doing, and some of the concepts that we're trying to move forward? So on April 14th, and that's coming up, we're going to send letters out. We're inviting all fifth grade parents to attend that meeting on April 14th. We'd like for them also to bring their fifth grade student with them. It is during that meeting that we will have an entire plan overview. We'll talk about digital learning at that meeting. We'll talk about the logistics that I spoke of this evening. We'll talk about curriculum alignment and the types of things that they should be able to see their child doing in school. How will your child be navigating through this? How will their experience be different next year than it is this year? What can you expect? What types of anxiety will they have? What types of places can you go to find out how you can help your child when they stumble at home? So it's going to be education for children as well as for parents. And then we're going to be seeking feedback at that meeting as well. We're going to have a series of questions. We're going to do it in focus group fashion. We understand it's going to be a lot of people, but we want parent feedback. We want them to talk to us about what's on their mind, as they did when we first started, and we asked some questions at the beginning of the survey process for this. And then we're going to try to identify, based on their participation that evening, an actual core group of parents to act as advisors and supporters of the program as it continues to unfold, so that we understand not only what's happening in our school setting, but what's happening at home. And so they can be advising us as time goes on for the projects and for the implementation of the plan. So I know that was quick, but these are the plans that we brought to the board. These are the ones that we're moving forward with. This is sort of where we are right now. And I'd be happy to answer any questions or to take any guidance back that you would like for us to make sure that we're working on as we continue to proceed down this road.
You know, the only thought that I had is the challenge of charging these things during the course of the day. I mean, if you have enough battery life on it, usually it's only going to be somebody who didn't pay attention to plug it in. So would it be easier to just have a trade-out for, you know, for two periods, you hand yours in and you're going to get something you're going to use while you're here for 2 hours while it gets charged. And just kind of an in-out thing where you don't have to be supervising kids. They can keep moving, you know. I mean, just a thought. But.
Well, it's a good thought. And that's back to that, you know, at home, mom and dad, this thing needs to be plugged in every night.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. If they have to take something else, it's a little more...
But I thought, isn't this
cord docking?
But isn't this one to one where you get one device and that's yours?
Oh yeah,
right. You're talking about having one on loan.
So how do you swap that out?
Just for the 2 hours that it takes to charge it while you're at school, you got to go back and you got to go get yours.
That's an interesting idea, Mike.
Yeah. I'm just saying because
like a loaner.
It's like a loaner for the time it takes to charge it.
Right.
And because you weren't responsible enough to charge your own equipment, you're going to have to borrow something for a while. Just a thought. I mean, I don't know.
No, it's a good thought.
Do it the other way or whatever, but something to think about.
I like the idea. It's finding some way to support the student. I mean, that
somebody's got to monitor that.
Yeah, no, I know.
So we need to recognize that as well. And I would be very disappointed, as I'm certain our administrative team and the board would be, if this turned into a disciplinary situation. I mean, obviously there are certain things, but we want this to be seamless. We want it to be a comfortable opportunity for kids. So this could be one way. Look, you didn't charge it. That's fine. Take this one. We'll keep yours.
By the end of the day.
Come back in a couple of hours. And tomorrow, now remember.
Here's the thing, though. I mean, it's a responsibility thing. It's like my 18-year-old who doesn't charge her phone and goes on a trip 30 minutes away. I mean, she hasn't learned the responsibility that you needed your phone charge. You're going somewhere. So we're teaching them responsibility, too. So maybe it wouldn't be so bad. You don't have your book. You didn't bring your. It's like what I say. You don't bring your book to class. You'll be sitting there. You know. You didn't bring your. You didn't charge. You weren't prepared. So it's you know, how much do we enable them? You know, I don't know. It's a thought. Well, they'll break though. I mean, we'll have to have some. Something might happen that's beyond their control. So then, does the teacher have a couple extra in the classroom?
Well, it could be that both of the plans work. It's a responsibility thing. You don't have your textbook with you, but you're going to need to plug that in the wall right now while the rest of us keep moving forward.
Right.
And you're in your classroom, and the student isn't going to the media center or off to someplace else. So,
because you don't want to you want to teach them the responsibility of the device and taking care of it. That's their life. You know that they're 21st century learners, so we got to teach them that.
We have a little bit of a cohort group. Friend of ours, Ed Vitardi, who is a principal in another school district right now, his team is also going through the one-to-one process right now. They're putting it in. So we've developed sort of a cohort where we're talking with each other about what are your experiences, what are our experiences. We have three other school, we have the technology, some folks that we met at the technology conference that Mr. Schenker and others have sort of developed some professional learning communities with, as well as two schools, one Orange in the local area, and the other school system escapes me right now. Indian Hill in Cincinnati. So we've latched on to some very good school systems, and some of the work that they have already done streamlines our process as well. Right. So that's good. And we'll talk about these things. What do you do when? What have you done when this occurred? And they've given us some pretty good advice. As a matter of fact, we've gotten a packet, John Schenker has, of the technology director in Orange who said, when you go down this road, here are the questions that came up for us, and here are some pointers for you to be considering when you go down, when you complete the implementation. And one of them is really having that parent understand what's happening in school, what happens at home, how can I monitor it as a parent? How do I know that this is moving along and my child is progressing? So that's an important part of the piece or of the project.
I have a couple questions, just things that I have encountered that I wondered if we had answers to. For example, child goes home, the filter system's different. So in his browser, you know, there can be different things. They're cookies, I think they're called, but the browser latches on to them. He comes back here, so they're in their search engine. Do you know what I'm talking about, Carl? They're in their search, so then child pulls it up, so they didn't do it at school. But I've had it where children have brought inappropriate things already loaded on the phone from home, you know, or on the device at home. What's the discipline? You know, like
Well, that's the policy part. That's the student handbook part.
But somebody else could have, the child might not have done it. Might have been Big Brother or something.
And that's the, you know,
sister.
If we all go back maybe 15 years and the child brings a pocket knife to school and he wore his brother's coat and there's the knife and it's got a six-inch
right.
blade and we all know that's against the law, but he didn't know. This is an individual conversation with a student and their family about how did we get here and what the school's policies are. And in cases like the one that you're talking about, I am certain that they are going to come up. I can almost guarantee it, unfortunately, because things like that happen. But the point of that conversation is I hope that we are cognizant of the fact that these things are going to happen. We have those very quick conversations with students and their parents. We take care of the situation, and then we agree on we're going to probably do a few checks along the way to make sure this doesn't happen again. But remember, there are policies, procedures, there are things that you're supposed to be bringing to school and things that you're not, and this is not one of those. And so now the parent is on board, the student clearly understands, and we're working through that problem with that family. If it happens again, or if it is so egregious that we can't work something like that out, we go to the policy manuals and we do the best we can to take care of that circumstance and keep that family engaged with us as we continue in these processes.
I just think the challenge is, and it's going to be a challenge no matter what, it's coming home to here to back.
Toggling.
Yeah. I think that's a very big challenge. Just like anything, like with bullying or anything else. I mean, where's our line? That's the vagueness of it. Yeah. Is there an ability, you know how I brought CVCC's laptops they gave us with the tracking device? How are we going, since they're all going to look similar, how are the children able to differentiate between whose is whose?
Well, we talked about this a little bit the last time we were together. We do want them to personalize them. We do want them to tape their name on them or put their
yeah.
emblem on them or something that represents them that meets the school policies.
Sure.
But we want it to be theirs. We want it to personalize. And like all of our children who are involved in athletics, they all get the same black bag that on the side is their name or something that distinguishes theirs from someone else's so that they know that that's
okay.
mine. I pick it up. And when there's a day when they're going to get confused and somebody took somebody else's, the name should be on there so that we can make the switch back. And I think that's a logistical problem that we work through to the best of our ability. But when I did talk to John about that, because I had the same question, there's going to be 270 of the very same. His immediate response was, we want them to personalize them. We want it to be theirs, and that's what we'll be talking to parents about to answer that question.
Can we allow them to put something on it, though, like we do with the iPads? They get it's a gift from the PSO, for example, whatever, however they put that on the back of the iPads. They etch it.
I'm sure we
could. We have something? I don't know. No?
Well, I mean,
or
well,
offer
these are
a company if you want to use this. We have that tag system I talked about at CVCC where it's permanently affixed. Could we, not everybody has to do it, but if I want to make that extra investment, could we have a company that was available to do that if I was wanted to do that? Not have to.
I mean, you know, you've got all kinds of different, opportunities that it's going to depend on what you want to do, right? I mean, you know, how far do you want to go with restriction or latitude with what the student can do? You could have a pre-printed tag on there and maybe a spot for personalization, or you could open it up and say, stick whatever you want on there. I mean, it really just depends. That's part of what, you know, the advocacy and the parents and all the people that give input and the other districts that do it, you know, you get all that information and figure out what's the right answer or which path do we want to go down. Do you want it kind of be total free-for-all, do whatever you want, or do we want to constrain it a bit and say, you know, here's what you want to do?
It's just sometimes I just know, even with, like, for example, the obvious is not obvious all the time, not to be disingenuous to our parents, but they don't see it from the perspective that we see it sometimes
right.
as educate. So to have them, to allow them some options that they may not foresee, like the etching or the tag or, you know, something.
Just so, like the inside cover of a textbook. Everybody opens it up and they know immediately. So
right.
I wrote down, you know, some way to identify or tag the computer, and should it be something that's labeled that we say everyone will, or should it be the questions we had tonight?
Or both.
Yeah, we need, I think, because we have to track our assets, right? So aren't we going to need
every unique? One of them will have a district.
That's what I'm saying. It's, right. But it's also going to have a unique, I think, number, right? Whether it be the serial number in the computer or whatever.
Right.
Because you got to track that asset.
See, that might be helpful if we had just etched serial numbers on each one or something, like they do the iPads.
Well, they'll come with some kind of a serial number on it, but the question
it'll
is,
be on the battery,
what do we wanna,
though, won't it?
Well, again, it depends on the device. You know, if you're, I mean, a lot of these questions, it's going to depend on what kind of device. If you're getting down into an iPhone, you know, maybe you have to go open it up. You get into some other devices, it could be right on
but
the
I'm,
back.
What I'm thinking is, if my child lost it or left it in Panera or somewhere, it's not necessarily here when it's in the mix. But if somebody finds that they would know, and it'd be a fix.
I mean, these are all things of what's the standard information that gets put on there and what's the customization that you're going to allow the student to do.
Well, the students are going to do whatever they want to do. So the real question is, what do we want to mandate is on it? And they'll customize them.
Well, I'm pretty certain that John has the capability to know from the internal perspective whose machine this is.
Oh, yeah.
I think that there may be a circumstance where a student would lose his, take that one, take the name tag off, and say, this is now mine.
Exactly.
But John Schenker, you couldn't pull that on him, because if he would always be able to figure out whose machine that was. And then there are passcodes and things once you get in there so that you have access to other things. So the computer isn't necessarily valuable to anyone beyond just having it.
Well, I mean, it's like my son's shoes were stolen twice now at the middle school. So there could be a market. They would just take it and sell it. Like, what's going to prevent that?
Well, I don't think there's anything that will prevent that other than clear meetings with parents and students about how to manage this equipment. And those will be individual, hopefully anomaly circumstances that we will work with, just like any other disciplinary or anomaly that comes to the office. We'll do the best we can to investigate. We'll do the best we can to maintain confidentiality and make it private. And if we find that someone is with malice or intent to harm or was trying to do something that was illegal, then we're going to discipline them against the code. I think you've brought up a good point. I have it captured, I think, and I will most definitely have that conversation with Mr. Schenker as part of the list of other questions that we have. That's a good one. I'll figure that one out.
Well, and obviously there are a number of other districts locally, in the state, nationally, that are further down the path on one-to-one. So all these things, everybody's had to run in. Everybody's had to run into them. So, you know, there's got to be a best practice.
Sure.
You know,
this is a quick telephone call to Orange or Indian Hill tomorrow.
Sure.
Yeah, what do you guys do?
And
some of it, I'm sure, is lessons learned. They may have chosen a path and then realized, we need to adjust course a bit because this thing keeps happening and it's a problem.
Right. That's a good question.
You could just have every device made of a unique color.
325 unique colors.
No, yours is in taupe. It's a light taupe.
That's right. No, yours is seafoam.
Visions of Joseph and Scott.
We could go to Sherwin-Williams and get all the
things. My wife has a fondant full of paint chips. Some of the names of those things.
Okay, so the filter system is important. The customization or the ability to know whose is whose. And then the support program loaner in case, or do we link it into a classroom to an outlet for a responsibility opportunity? Thank you.
Great. Nothing more. Item K, new business. Number one, personnel contract recommendations per the attachments. Resolved to accept the personnel and or contract recommendations detailed in the tab items listed below, as per the dates, terms, and other applicable conditions specified in tabs 3, 4, and 5. May I have a motion, please?
So moved.
Second.
Members of the board, you have this document, which is the employee count comparison, and you'll see that this month there are no adjustments. The documentation that's in your board packet is reflective of things that happened throughout this time of school year. One thing I would like to bring to your attention is in the tab 3 resignations, Larry Tomick, who is the current director of business services, Larry couldn't be here this evening because he's ill, but Larry is going to be moving to another opportunity, and I wanted to say this evening and on record in front of the public that he has been very good for our school district, has managed very difficult situations, and I believe the district's facilities and infrastructure is in better shape today than when Mr. Tomick came on board. That's because of his leadership, his ability to plan. I believe that Larry always respected the board's opinion and tried to accomplish what the board's wishes were in a way that was most effective and communicated to you with a genuine level of professionalism. And we wish Larry the best as he goes on to his next role. And Larry will be in his next role still affiliated with the district because he will be with the OSC. And we are a member, and so we'll always have Larry as long as he's there helping us from the sideline, and I know that he'll do whatever he can to keep us in front of the pack. So congratulations to Larry. So that's the first, the document there that you see for certified. The next are our extracurricular contracts, and I did receive a question from a board member about the volunteers. I want to remind everyone that if a person is a volunteer in this book, that means that they're going through the very same credentialing that a person who is being paid. So the, you know, background checks and all those things, certifications, if they're going to be working with our students in these roles, even as a volunteer, we want to bring them to the board, and they have the same credentialing requirements as anybody else who comes to you. The last is the classified staff recommendations. And you see there's a retirement there as well as some contracts. The only thing I wanted to say about this is typically you would not see in the center of the page to be determined as far as the number of hours. And in mid-year, we streamlined. We had some things that we did, some route consolidation. Now there's a bidding process that takes place like it would in August, and because of the bidding process, I can't give you the hours this evening, but I can tell you that they will be less than what we had at the first half of the school year. So that's a consolidation, and I just wanted to bring that to your attention because you don't see that very often in your documentation.
Questions or comments?
Roll call, please. Sorry, I had one quick question. So I under retirements, I'm certificated, so I see I'm a music teacher and a speech pathologist. So are those going to be posted as positions that we have to backfill?
The retirement, yes, on music, and at this particular point in time, yes, on speech and language, but since that is associated with IEPs, we're still kind of making sure that we would need that in the same capacity that we do now. But the music position, yes, that is a switch. The other one, not quite sure yet.
Did we just have one speech pathologist, or did we have more?
Several.
Several?
Okay.
About seven, I believe. Maybe one of them's half-time.
Oh, really? And are those all local? I mean, are all those full-time employees, or did we get any of those through the ESC?
They're all employees, but not all full-time.
Okay.
One, maybe two, or 50%.
Okay.
One for sure.
Sheena, our speech pathologists, are they all full-time FTEs, or are they based on student IEP and not necessarily a full-time FTE?
Sometimes you get grants and money to them, but not for speech pathologists.
No. And that's the part, Mr. Dosen, where dependent upon how students move through our system, we would have a better understanding and a little bit more, with a little bit more runway, as to what that's going to look like next year.
Okay.
Roll call, please.
Mrs. Bernauer.
Yes.
Mr. Dosen.
Yes.
Mrs. Mack.
Yes.
Mr. Ziegler.
Yes.
Mr. Jansen.
Yes. Motion carries 5-0. Item K, number 2, general, A through F, tabs 6 through 11. Resolve to approve marching bees going to Orlando. Primary service agreement, Brecksville Broadview Heights with EUS LLC. HVAC contract, Ohio Schools Council agreement, and North Coast Council for Internet Services. May I have a motion, please?
So moved.
Second.
First tab is for the marching bees to go to Florida, but that's for next year. And the approval this evening sets things in course to be able to meet all the obligations and meet all the timing required for that. Behind tab 7, you see the primary service agreement. It's there. Let me get to my notations, please. It's an ESC service agreement, and this is a two-year recommendation. Tonight, we're just approving that we will have the two-year agreement with them. As time goes on, much like the discussion we just had with the speech pathologist, we will find out exactly what types of services that will be required from the ESC, and then we'll bring those to you in resolution form.
So this is just a blanket?
Yes, at this point in time. The utility cost reduction program, I want to thank the board. You've done a lot of work on this. It's been almost 7 months in the making. We've done a lot of analysis. We've done what I think is the best work that we could possibly do to ensure that under the circumstances of this contract, that the district's best interests are maintained not only today, but long into the future. So I think this is a very good contract. I'd like to thank those of you who worked on this and helped us get it to a point where it is today. The HVAC unit at the high school, we talked about this about a month ago when we were together, and the question was this part of the typical prioritized list that we had in the school district for facilities, and how will this be paid for? Yes, it is part of the prioritized list, and it's from PI dollars. It does not come out of the general fund, so this is money that is targeted for this type of expenditure, and that is part of the list of priorities that the board has seen prior years. So that work, if approved tonight, will start, and the bid came in at less than what we thought it would, so that is good. The next tab is the Ohio Schools Council Cooperative, and this is to allow them to advertise on our behalf to try to find the best price for all of the trash bags and all the types of things that we use throughout the district to dispense of our waste. And so because there are about 219 other school districts and municipalities involved in that, we really do achieve a good price through the OSC. The other service provider agreement is for internet service, and we had some discussions with the board along the way. This is a contract with NCC. NCC is, they'll be handling our internet, and they also bundle in a lot of other software types of things that we use in our HR department, in our payroll department, in our finance department. And we were kind of taking a look at this to see if there was a better opportunity for us, not so much because they were not a company that was providing good quality service, because they are. What we were enticed by with another organization was the fact that they could have more bandwidth, and that was something on our minds when we were thinking about all the new technology requirements of ODE and some of the park and air testing. So we took a walk down that road for a little bit and finally realize that we still believe that NCC is providing quality service, and we want to continue down this road. As time goes on, there's going to be more things that Mr. Burdine and Mr. Wyckoff sort of have their eye on, with the bundling of all of this happening at a state level where some entities are purchasing others, and we may be able to get all of this for a reduced price. And at that point in time, we'll take the walk down that road. But right now, this is a good quality service that we're receiving, and that's why the recommendation is being presented to you this evening.
Scott, quick question. So, you know, as we look at the one-to-one, move to one-to-one, the one-to-one model, and the increase in devices and the increase in utilization of Wi-Fi, you know, is there a way to gauge, monitor how close we're coming to reaching the ceiling of our capacity?
Absolutely.
Right? And so, and then if we do hit and find we get to a threshold, we say, you know what, we're overloaded, you know, what does it look like to go up the next step for increased capacity? Do we know what that looks like?
Right now, my discussions with John are that we have not gotten to that point, and actually there's a lot of room between the ceiling and where we're currently using. Even when we had 600 students who were testing at the high school, we had our most amount of students when other activity was happening in our buildings. Now, NCC was also thinking about that, and absent of us, they actually increased their capability and they did not charge districts the additional cost, if I understand that, when they upgraded their system. What caused us to take that look was we saw something that would even be more bandwidth
right.
than NCC upgraded to. But John has assured me that we have not gotten to the ceiling, and he's comfortable right now having gone through this testing cycle. But the one-to-one is going to be another test for us, and then and he has that analytic data because he keeps that and he checks it. You could go in his office anytime, and he can come up and he can show you how it's yeah. how it's going. And I've seen that. I don't understand it. John does, but he's comfortable. And I think Rick, he's probably had that conversation with you once or twice as we were looking at the other entity who might provide this service. Right. I don't want to put you on the spot, but I think that's what he was saying.
I think as we add additional grade levels, the need to explore potential additional bandwidth will increase. The one grade level didn't seem to be a concern.
Right. Well, and the other piece of it is, and I don't know what happens today, but is there any restrictions being placed on people in terms of streaming video, right? Because you got a lot of people with phones and Netflix and YouTube and, you know, I don't know if there's any restrictions or if, you know, at lunchtime or whatever, people are starting to do that because that's where you really would start seeing your, you know, your bandwidth getting chewed
there's
up.
There's a spike when the high school 5 lunch periods are on.
Okay.
There's a lot of talking, not only to each other, but to parents. Game's going to be at 6, change from 5, all that type of stuff is happening. And they do the things that you're talking about.
Okay.
Teachers are usually the one who are streaming, not the students necessarily. At least that's my experience. And I was, you know, I don't know. And that's not all happening at one time. You know, it's intermittently. So
in study hall without commercials, you could probably watch
in Netflix.
Any of the, you know, episodes of any show on right. HBO.
40
you
minutes.
Know,
yeah.
Our students don't do that. They study. Look at that. Right. Look at those robotics. I mean, they don't do
not Dosen, the vast majority of them study.
I'm going to write that down on the question section here and ask John about that specifically as we're moving forward. With because teachers are going to be doing more
right.
because of the discussion we had earlier. Students are going to be doing more because they're going to have the equipment. But we're addressing with the wireless, our internal, but we need to make sure that we can accomplish all that. So I'll put that in here.
Another question for our friends at Orange.
Yeah.
Seriously. Learn as much as we can from them.
Well, it's like when you're doing the digital version of something all in the same classroom. Like if you're doing the digital version of a magazine, that they have trouble logging in. They have trouble. That's where you start seeing the trouble is when you're all accessing like a digital version of something.
Right,
yeah.
It bogs down.
And then some of them can't log in. You have to like wait till literally something gets off.
Right.
So
right.
those things are hard if teachers are relying just on that medium.
Yeah. Yeah, the same thing happens with Netflix if you have too many people log into your account.
Yes, it is true. Yeah. I'm glad to know other families.
Well, I think in our regard, since we are sort of stepping into it, one grade level, most everything throughout the system will be similar to what our current exposure is. This will be a new item that we'll have to take a close look at. But then when that goes from 6th grade to 7th grade, and then 6th, 7th, and 8th, now you're going to have 3 grades. And the things that you're talking about, how slow will the building be or not be? And so that's all part of the process. And what management system are you using, which is important as well. And the cost of the management system is something that we've started to learn that the ability for this management system to do the types of things, is it $4 a student, $9 a student, $12 a student? What will that look like over time? Does that 12 go to 15 to 20? So there are some prices or some costs here that we're going to be learning about, but we're not going into it blindly. We do have the help of these other schools that have gone through this who have tackled some of these issues or maybe hit a landmine that we might not.
Right.
As a result of having that collaborative with them. So.
And their schools similar to us, similar in size.
High so
similar
in
demographic,
system.
Yeah. So that feels mm-hmm. good.
Anything else? Roll call.
Mrs. Bernauer?
Yes.
Mr. Dosen?
Yes.
Mrs. Mack?
Yes.
Mr. Ziegler?
Yes.
Mr. Jansen?
Yes. Motion passes 5-0. Item L, committee reports. Financial Liaison Audit Committee?
Nothing additional.
PI Committee?
No, sir. New? We haven't met.
Transportation Appeals?
No, sir.
Thankfully. Board Policy, I think we got our tasking earlier this evening, but not yet.
Just not the date.
Just not the date. CVCC?
We're entering into negotiation in April. We as a board selected Bill Pepple to represent our board, which is a change from Bill Blackie, and we have our negotiation workshop tomorrow, and it's going to be run by Chuck Parsons and Bill Pepple, so that we're all looking forward to that and deciding what the makeup of our negotiation team. On March 31st, we have the groundbreaking for RamTech, and Dr. Roebuck's worked hard. Lieutenant Governor's coming to the opening, and five people who are Senate and House are coming, and lots of large companies, 200 people attending. So if any other board members interested in coming, there's the ground opening and a lunch, and I get to give an address. So come watch.
Oh, you do?
Yeah, I do.
What time is it?
It's 10 o'clock is the
groundbreaking, and then there's a lunch.
Yeah, the actual phones. Ground. And then, is that right, Scott? Does that sound right? And then 11, I'm doing this like off of memory, 11 o'clock. And it's just a reservation that I can put in for you if you're interested.
I'm not 100% sure, but
yeah.
Is it Wednesday?
It's at 10:30 is the groundbreaking.
Thank you.
And then after the groundbreaking, there's a luncheon. And if you wanted to go to the luncheon, I think that's what they need you to call ahead. So if you want to do that.
Yeah.
But the groundbreaking is 10:30.
Yeah. And then she was showing us the wrap that she's going to have. The students that in our digital media are creating a wrap for that portable van that's going to be able to go to all the districts with the robotics. And so it's real neat. And the students are a lot of our students in Brecksville are involved on that wrap and creating that. You know, it's an exciting time there. Looking forward to it. And that's it.
STEM?
No. Next board meeting, I'll have a special announcement about a grant that we received. So that's pretty exciting. And I don't have all the details right now, but I'll have all that put together for you. Also, at the next board meeting, speech and debate, we're going to honor that group as well because they've had a really good year. So we'll have them to honor at our meeting as well.
And number 7, any other board member reports?
Yeah, I would just like to say that I was approached by a emergency services person had mentioned that we used to do lockdown practice here, and we haven't done it in a while because George isn't here, and apparently George was the one who's kind of pushed it.
You mean the summer lockdown major coordination?
Well, they used to do a spring. I guess you used to do it in the spring, and he said we should do it again, but we should do it in the fall. And it's just a recommendation, and I just throw it out there because he came to me with it, but he said, you know, probably if we would be willing to do it again, which he recommended probably wasn't a bad idea with all the stuff going on these days, that we do it in the fall so that the newer students, you know, you get the effect of the whole year then ahead of you if you do that. So I just throw it out there as something that, you know, we may want to consider, you know, again as a group that the school district ought to perhaps, you know, practice that
right.
At least once, just so that everybody has an idea what, you know, what could potentially happen. Again, I don't want to be an alarmist, but it's kind of crazy out there.
George was in charge of like a total, like a reenactment. There was some, right, a couple years ago. Was that the lockdown or?
Well, we're required by the state of Ohio right. to have lockdown drills now. Well, now it's up to 3 times a year.
Oh.
So this is a new
that
Ohio
passed,
revised
yeah.
code. There are you still have to do the 9 tornadoes, and now there are 3 lockdowns.
And one can just be run by teacher, like just teacher. The students don't actually have to be present. We just did that one in my district. And then there's one that requires that the students.
That's
I don't know what
students.
The other two are. There must be 2.
And then the students.
But what was the reenactment that George did?
Yeah, I think the police are...
The reenactment was an actual shooter in the schools.
Sir.
And the reason that that worked, there were two things going on that day. One was we were learning about our facilities and learning how to handle that internally. But they were coordinating all of the communication systems that they purchased, the new communication system at Parma. And they were linking it to North Royalton and to Brecksville and Strongsville on that day. So they were checking their systems to make sure that they were dovetailing together and they weren't over top of each other with communication, so they could actually understand what was happening on site from various places. When you might need an H or a HAZVAC unit, when you might need to have a helicopter, when you might need to have additional fire trucks or emergency vehicles from other places, and to make sure they could coordinate the timing of all that so you could have an efficient removal of not only people who maybe are injured, but other things that are happening with your facility in case it was a bomb or something like that.
It was so, like the CERT.
Well, that topic has come up at our security meetings that George attends. So, and there, and I'd have to check the minutes, but there was a rationale for why or why not that was well thought out, and discussion was being led by the law enforcement people in the meeting as to why it should or shouldn't be done at a certain, you know, each year. But it's not a lost topic.
I'd say it's only just so it's case a fireman and a, you know, ambulance, what you call, emergency response, you know, person. So just throw it out there.
Okay.
Item M, executive session to consider the appointment, employment, or compensation of a public employee as per board policy 0166, item A, and for discussion with the board's legal counsel of disputes involving the board that are the subject of pending or imminent court action as per board policy 0166, item D. May I have a motion, please?
So moved.
Second. Whoever.
Roll call, please.
Mrs. Bernauer?
Yes.
Mr. Dosen?
Yes.
Mrs. Mack?
Yes.
Mr. Ziegler?
Yes.
Mr. Jansen?
Yes. Motion passes 5-0. We'll be in executive session now, and no further public business will be transacted this evening when we come out. Thank you very much.